This TY Media Week program is funded by Commission the Man.
With the television's license fee, it has been devised by Learning Waves in association with Highland Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Highland Radio. You're listening to the TY program with me, Joey.
And me, Evie. We're so excited to spend the next hour with you, bringing great music, brilliant chats, and some amazing interviews from our fellow classmates from Ross's Community School.
That's right. Tonight, we've got everything from fashion and fitness to beauty and music, and even how TikTok is changing the media world.
Plus, we've got some of the biggest tunes from Sabrina Carpenter, Benson Boone, Coden Gray, Kendrick Lamar, and Olivia Dean.
It's going to be a great hour, so stick around. Let's start things off with one that's been everywhere this year. Here's Sabrina Carpenter with Espresso.
Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter. Such a feel-good tune to start the evening.
Absolutely. It just makes you want to sing along. All right, up first, Connor is now going to sit down and tell us all about the world of fashion.
Let's take a listen to Connor.
Hello, I'm Connor. I have an interest in fashion, and today that's what I'll be talking about. The trends, the influence, and how what we wear can be one of the most powerful forms of self-expression. Fashion moves quickly. Every season brings a new look, a new aesthetic, or a viral piece from everyone suddenly wants. From luxury to vintage, trends spread faster than ever, but not all that change, it's worth asking, what does style really mean to us? For many, it's a way to express yourself, to show personality before saying a word. The right outfit can boost confidence, make a statement, or even connect us with a community. But at the same time, there's growing awareness around fast fashion, how it affects sustainability and the environment. Then, of course, there's celebrity influence. A single post from a major artist or influencer can shape global trends overnight. For me, listening to artists like ASAP Rocky has made me buy certain pieces. It's incredible how culture and fashion feed into each other. But the key is finding that balance between inspiration and individuality. Because at the end of the day, style isn't about copying what's trending, it's about using fashion as your own voice. Hi, I'm Connor, and I'm with
Evie Doherty.
Evan, what trend do you wish would never come back?
Skinny jeans.
And what trend do you wish would come back?
Oh, like really oversized clothes.
And what's your favourite fashion era?
The 80s or the 2000s.
Kiva, what's your favourite brand?
My favourite brand would have to be Nike.
And Kiva, what is your favourite piece of clothing?
I love hoodies.
And Brumlin, what is your favourite brand?
Let's say Gucci, if I could afford it. Yeah.
Okay. And what trend do you wish would come back?
I would love to see flip-flops with everything.
What shop do you buy from the most?
Because of my budget, Pennies.
Aaron, what's your favourite brand?
Armani.
Baggy jeans or tight jeans?
Tight jeans.
And what trend do you wish would end?
Full tracksuits or full kits.
That was a really interesting chat.
Yeah, there's so much more to it than just picking out clothes. Okay, time to keep the music going. Here's Benson Boone with Beautiful Things.
For a while there it was rough, but lately I've been doing better than the last four cold Decembers I recall. And I see my family every month. I found a girl my parents love. She'll come and stay the night, and I think I might have it all. And I thank God every day for the girl he sent my way. But I know the things he gives, he can take away. No man is terrified as the man who stands to lose you. Oh, I hope I don't lose you. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God.
Mom,
we're dying to see you this Christmas. The tree's up already.
Mom, I don't know how to say this.
What's wrong, pet?
I can't come home this year. It's just too expensive.
Oh, sweetheart, we'll miss you.
Sometimes life keeps us apart. But at Highland Radio, no matter where you are in the world, this year, we want to make Christmas extra special for one lucky family. We want to bring a family home for Christmas. You can nominate yourself or a loved one. Visit highlandradio.com to submit your nomination. Let's bring families together this Christmas.
Join me, Marty Friel, every Friday night from 8 for Rockin' Hits on Highland Radio in association with Arena 7. Dine in our newly refurbished Woodbury Grill, Bar and Restaurant this Christmas with DJ After in the Bowling Bar. Book your Christmas night out at Arena 7 today.
A seesaw, a staring contest, a high five. Some things are hard to do on your own. In business, becoming more sustainable can be one of them. That's why Bank of Ireland has introduced the Sustainable Business Coach. This free digital platform gives you guidance, support, and a practical plan to help you take your next sustainability steps. To get started today, search Bank of Ireland Sustainable Business Coach. Bank of Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Shekalaha Ama Highland Radio. Arna Dortugat Ig Airgrid. Ubror Agus Forbor Anga Letrahas Naharan. Airgrid. Pobilia Guaktu, Era Aguaktu. Teshe.
You're listening to Highland Radio. This is the TY programme with Joey and Evie.
Coming up next, Aaron's been chatting with a personal trainer about staying motivated and finding balance in everyday life. Lots of great advice in this one. Here's Aaron's interview.
Hi, I'm Aaron Boyle. I have an interest in the gym and fitness. I frequently go to Innes Fitness in Dunlow. I've had my own fitness journey growing up. I was a heavy kid. And in June 2024, I was 95 kg. And knew I had to make a change. So I went into a calorie deficit, eating around 1,800 calories a day, and I went running every day. Then in September 2024, I started the gym again, and I've been going frequently since then, losing body fat and getting stronger. Taking this step in my life has not only helped me physically, but has massively helped me mentally, because it has given me more confidence in myself. This is the reason I want to be a personal trainer, to help people that are in the situation that I once was in. How did you start your business?
So I started business when I actually went to ECA Belfast myself. It'll be 8 years now in January. I probably wasn't the most academically gifted person, so I was on a job and I seen ECA Belfast pop up that they were doing personal training, coaching, practically. So it wasn't in a classroom, it was actually on a gym floor. And yeah, alarm bells just went off in my head that this is what I wanted to do. And then just with the success of the gym and ECA wanting to branch out, they reached out to myself and I was lucky enough how to get the position to help other people do the exact same thing I have done myself.
Yeah, that's very cool. So, like, what are the mental and physical benefits to exercise?
I'd say the list can be long. I think there's actually a study showing that physical exercise is five times more effective than the strongest, like, antidepressant they have on the market. So for the mental side of it, it's absolutely everything for me. And for the physical side of it, it's really hard to control your brain if you can't control your body. So even like going in, I think it just builds really good routine and structure. A good friend of mine's actually an addiction counsellor, and he says the exact same thing. He's like, Francis, I give a lot of these people just structure, going to the gym, routine. And with me and having intensity fitness too, a massive thing's about community, that people come in, they're not going into a gym, that they're unfamiliar faces and it makes it more nervous and stuff like that. So when you come in, it's the same people usually training the same times you are, and it really builds a good culture, good community. And I think that's a massive thing as well too with the mental health. A lot of people are viewing the world through their phones now, and yeah. How all of us like to, you know, put up the pictures that we look good in. We like to show everybody like the highlight reel of our life on Instagram. So everybody's world looks amazing when you're on the outside looking in. But unfortunately, that isn't the case. And if you're only viewing the world through your phone, which is a massive part of people's lives now as well, too, is the device that they're holding. It looks quite scary, and everybody looks perfect when you look at all these gym photos and stuff. But not everybody is perfect. Everybody's trying to strive towards it. Not that it's a destination, but yeah, I think we kind of bring the real life situation on the intensity fitness, which I'm delighted to be able to do.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there. So see, for someone who was a bit reluctant or hesitant to start in the gym, what advice would you give to them?
So This is what I deal with every single day. People are really nervous. I actually spoke to a female at the Sunday Run Club, and she was saying, Francie, I experience all them nerves. I experienced the anxiety and stuff of coming into the gym. But after two classes, she says it was completely gone. So I've just came to terms with that I'm never going to be able to say the magic thing that works for you. I'm never going to be able to say the thing to get you in the door. It's not a persuasion tool. It's you've got to be willing to make the choice. And unfortunately, it comes with a level of discomfort. But that is where, like, the mental strength comes from too. Like, it's something that you know you have to do, or maybe something that you want to do, but all these nerves, all this anxiety and stuff is all around it. And that's what builds that mental toughness, when you were nervous, but you done it anyway. And I just find with social media, like, you know, I don't like getting on and making all the videos and stuff that we do, but I know that I'd be doing a disservice to the town and the people who are nervous out there if I didn't get on, show what we do, show a wee bit of a character, and let people know that we're kind of all human when they're looking to come through the doors in Intensity Fitness as well. So yeah, that's if I could give you a straight answer on how to answer that problem, I'd have a lot more members in the gym.
Yeah. What inspired you to follow down the road of fitness?
What inspired me? I would say probably expecting more off myself, and that I didn't really know it at the time, but without sports, without fitness and stuff like that, I probably would have went down different paths, because if I wasn't playing Gaelic football, hurling, going to boxing, doing MMA and jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, I would have filled my hands and my time with something else, and no doubt it wouldn't have been productive or beneficial. So I met a lot of good people through sports. I've learned a lot of my character that I have now through sports and stuff like that. So it was a bit of a no-brainer, but it's something I never thought about until I seen the ECA Belfast post. And yeah, I wasn't great in school. I didn't mind school, but yeah, I wasn't going to be like a top grader and stuff like that. The Leaving Cert wouldn't have represented my intelligence, let's say. And yeah, it was a no-brainer then for me, because I'm the person that gets to dictate where my success goes. Like, I could get up today, not make a social media post, not go and train, yeah, not be like a good advertisement for the gym and stuff like that. And I could just lie down and have it easy. But when you're working for yourself and stuff like that, I think you're like you're the captain of the ship. You're the dictator of your success. And hey, don't get me wrong, it comes with a lot of responsibility. Nobody's looking after you when you're running your own business and stuff like that. But it's also fairly empowering that, like, you know, you're the person that has control. You're not on a set wage. You don't have like a glass ceiling above your head that you need to break through. You're the person that can set the pace and the tone for where you end up and how successful you become.
Yeah. What were some of the challenges that you faced in your journey of starting Intensity Fitness?
The same struggles everybody has with most other things they go to start. Fear of judgment and caring what everybody else thinks. So, hi, I've got a big friend group. I've got a couple of characters in that friend group.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a made a video or stuttered or you'd have said something wrong, you know, you'd have been in somebody's WhatsApp group and the boys would have been taking a hand out of you. But, hi, at the end of the day, like, I just always used to say to myself, this is where most people give up. Like, you know, when things get hard or things aren't going right and all, and like, that's a big problem with the world at the minute. Most people think like a lot of instant gratification. Like, you know, they should get all these results in 6 weeks. They should have a successful business in 6 weeks. But yeah, just fear out of what everybody else would think, and fear out of it not working as well. But that's where you've just got to have a self-belief, I suppose.
Yeah. See, if you didn't become a personal trainer, what do you think you would have been?
Oh, I probably wouldn't be in Ireland. I probably went on the whole Australia buzz and stuff like that. I've done my bit of construction in America before, and it wasn't for me, but I had probably just followed suit what everybody else was doing. I'd have probably got a job. I used to work in Evolve Menswear. I actually really enjoyed, like, social interaction with people and stuff. So I don't know, maybe like sales. If not, that I'd probably just like gone to Australia for more opportunity, like a lot of other people.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Francie.
Hey, no problem at all, sir. Thank you very much. It was a great interview too. Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
That was such a great interview. I feel like I should start going to the gym after that.
Yeah, same here. I'll start tomorrow. Or maybe next week.
Classic. Okay, let's take a quick music break. Here's Coden Grey with Vodka Cranberry.
Offers on the brands you love this week at Dunn Stores, like mix and match on our selected Bird's Eye and Goodfellas range. Any four for just €10. Pick up selected Pringles, Cadbury Treat Size, Mars Fun Size and Nestle Minis. Now half price. And check out deal 3 of our 12 deals of Christmas with Quality Street 550 gram tubs, now only €4.50. And stay tuned for next week's deal. Plus, you can save more with your 10 off 50 voucher. Dunn Stores, always better value. Terms and conditions apply. Vouchers can be used on next grocery shop.
You know the forecast will say dry, and it'll lash. You know the Lewis will be late, again. You know that first coffee in the morning? Magic. And now with UNO Energy, you'll know what your bill's going to be before it lands. Our app gives you monthly predictions, daily updates, and shows you where you can save. That's being one step ahead. With UNO Energy, you just know. ROI only, 18 plus, T's and C's apply. See unoenergy.ie.
UNO Energy.
It's colourless, it's odourless, it's hard to detect. So carbon monoxide deserves your respect. If it kills you, don't it, in just 3 minutes flat. And if you don't believe me, ask me dear Uncle Posh. Tagging you. Coat or foil gas, even wood, any fuel can harm. So get yourself a carbon monoxide alarm, or you might just wake up dead.
You've tuned into Highland Radio, the TY programme with Joey and Evie. Hope you're all having a good evening so far.
Yeah, I feel like that evening time is that awkward time. You don't know whether to have a dinner, a snack, or just pretend you're not hungry yet.
Exactly. I always tell myself I'll wait for dinner, then suddenly I'm halfway through a packet of crisps before I even realise.
You say packet like it's just one. Be honest, it's usually two.
Alright, fair point. But hey, at least it's not three packets like you. But sure, we're only feeling up for the next half of the show.
Exactly. And coming up now, we've got Layla's chat with a local singer, all about inspiration and performing music. Let's take a listen.
Hello everyone, my name is Layla Vasca and I'm delighted to be here with you on Highland Radio. I've been playing traditional music for about 5 years now, mainly on concertina. I've had some amazing opportunities, like winning the county fla this year for under 15 concertina and even playing with Mairéadh Ní Mhaoine and Altan during the fla in Dunloe in a trad orchestra called Drake na Hauga. Traditional music has always been such a big part of my life, and today I'm really excited to chat with one of the most inspiring figures on the scene. Joining me now is none other than Mairéadh Ní Mhaoine, the world-renowned fiddler and singer from Altan.
So hello, Mairéadh, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to have you here with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure.
So Mairéadh, once again, it's so lovely to have you here with me today. You've made such an impact on traditional music. How did your own journey with music begin, and what or who first inspired you to start playing?
Well, music is just, it's always been so joyous to me. I was told when I was in the cot, trying to stand in the cot, that I'd jump as soon as I'd hear any music and dance and sing along. And apparently this was a kind of, before I even could walk, I was dancing away in the cot, holding on to the sides of the cot. And when my father would play, it would just, I would just be dancing. So apparently, I think all children respond to music in a very, you know, happy way. They realize it's so joyous, and that always has been part of my music. I always seem, it just takes away all the hardship of the world and brings you to this nice place. And with traditional Irish music, you know, you have all the different feelings and emotions that is in the music, the spectrum from, you know, really sad stuff to very joyous reels and jigs and, you know, things that would make you want to dance. And I think it's a very good platform to start any musical journey from.
Absolutely. So you obviously did start very young then. It kind of came to you straight away.
Well, I sang before I started playing music. Like, I was actually 10 when I started learning the fiddle. I just presumed it was there all the time, and I just thought it was, like, at that stage, no young person that I knew played traditional Irish music. So I always looked at the fiddle as being old-fashioned. But then I saw and I met a few younger musicians in Dublin one time when I was at a singing competition, and that really changed my whole attitude. And I came home and I didn't let the fiddle down at all. My father said I ate it even in the morning time, you know, after breakfast before going to school, I'd be playing the fiddle. And then after coming home after dinner, I'd be in the dining room playing away, and then trying to study and reading a chapter of a book. You know, when I was doing my leaving cert or anything, I'd read a chapter of a book and then I'd play a tune. And, you know, it was always the go for thing. Right, I'll read this chapter now, and I'll play myself a tune or learn a tune, and then I go to, and it kind of cleansed your head to do something new, you know.
Yeah, no, I kind of see myself in you when you say that, when you talk about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that get totally engrossed in the music, they can't let it down. And, you know, you want to develop to a certain, you want to get to a certain standard where you can sit into a session. And that takes a lot of practice to be able to sit and play a few tunes in a session. So, you know, I always see myself and other people like yourself, where they've spent hours learning these tunes, you know, and it's fantastic. And there's this thing, you're not alone. Like, you have people who have spent hours on their own learning these tunes, you know.
Yeah. And then I suppose Altan formed then. So how did Altan actually come together? And did you ever think it would become such an iconic name in traditional music?
Well, it just happened very gradually, you know. At that stage when my late husband Frankie and I started playing, you know, we were learning, well, we were in college doing education. I was going on to be a teacher. He was a year ahead of me, and he was a teacher. But we kept playing music, and then realised that there was an opening there. You know, you'd get an invite to go and play at a folk club in Dublin, or you might get an invite to go to England or something like that. And we realised, well, you know, as a duet, we could have made a few, you know, concerts. But then we realised this thing came in, the government brought in this, and the Department of Education, I should say, brought in this new scheme where there were too many teachers. It's actually the opposite to now. Too many teachers that didn't have any jobs. So they decided to bring in a scheme where you could take a year off and still have your job when you'd come back to it. So you could do that up to 3 years and then make up your mind if you wanted to come back to your job or if you wanted to continue whatever, like whatever choice you made when leaving the job. So after the third year, we realised we wanted to play music more and things were opening up for us. And we got a record deal with an American company first called Green Linnet, and then Virgin Records, Virgin International in London. They wanted to sign us. And this is when you signed with these big record companies, it meant something, you know, and it was a huge, huge thing for us, and it kind of brought us to a wider audience. And but we still kept playing tunes from Donegal, and one of the things in the stipulations in the contract that we kept that we put into the contract was that we were allowed to have total artistic freedom with our music, which they allowed us to do, and which was kind of unheard of, because usually the record companies tell you, dictate to you what you have to do. But they knew we had something that was long lived, you know. Even yet, you know, there's 30-40 years later, we're still selling albums. So they knew it had a longevity rather than a overnight success and then forget about us, you know. But it's a longevity, it's a slow burning success thing, because you just keep selling albums gradually, you know, every year you're selling. So that's a long life kind of investment.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then I guess with Altan, do you have some memorable moments you've had with them over the years that you would like to share?
Oh, I had so many memorable moments, you know. I mean, like just going to travel around the world was amazing. But, you know, in America, to play at Carnegie Hall, for instance, which we did, we played the Hollywood Bowl a few times. We played Dollywood with Dolly Parton twice. She also invited us to a studio in Hollywood when we were playing the Hollywood Bowl to record with her there. We also recorded with her in Dollywood itself. And she then invited herself onto one of our albums. She said, if you come up with a nice song, I'd love to sing with you. So she came onto the Blue Idol album and sang and Cailín Jasóg, which my father translated into English, and it's a hidden track on that album. I went to Nashville and recorded with her, and she's always been more than nice. And then we played the Grand Ole Opry a few years ago, and it's, you know, the Sydney Opera House, the I'm trying to think of the big Albert Hall in London, we played there. And like to play these iconic buildings is just incredible, you know. But the most nervous I've ever been is when I play near home. But no, those places are just amazing, you know. To play those places as a musician, you just feel, well, this is good.
Yeah, I suppose like it does bring so many opportunities, and I think we felt that way with our orchestra when we got to play with Using the Fla this year. Like that was just such a great opportunity for us.
Oh, that was so wonderful, and yeah. I was so impressed with everyone, from the wee toots to the little tots to the older people. Everyone put so much work into it, you know. Everybody just blended, and the dancers, of course, the Donegal dancers were there, and it was just lovely, really lovely. And I can't thank you enough for joining us.
Oh no, it was great. You know, it was just such a great opportunity for us as well, and it just showed us what we were capable of doing.
Yeah, and it was just a lovely show of local people, and the rest of the band were really impressed with all the young ones and your capability as well.
Absolutely. And then I suppose there are so many young musicians starting out in traditional music right now. What advice would you give to them, especially those maybe dreaming of doing what you do someday?
Well, you know, I would say like what I did was kind of, it wasn't a long-term idea at all. It wasn't, you know, we didn't start to play thinking, oh, we'll do this, we'll do really well. You know, don't have very high expectations, because I see a lot of disappointed musicians as well. Just don't expect anything. Play the music for the love of the music, I think. That's what you have to do. And if it's good, you know, you will get, you know, places, and you will get to travel, and you know, but don't have an expectation, because that's when you'll really be disappointed. We didn't have any expectation at all of anything. We didn't even dream of playing in front of people when we started playing. We just wanted to play sessions, and then all of a sudden you'd be asked to play a gig. Sure, that was a brilliant idea, and then all of a sudden you were given a record deal, and that was something we never thought of either. So everything came as a surprise to us, you know, and it kept the music alive and without, you know, because some people that I have met who played music got so disappointed they stopped playing the music. And I think that's success, really, is enjoying what you're doing, making yourself better, rehearsing, practicing, making the music beautiful. And if you make beautiful music, you're bound to have an appreciative audience, you know.
100%, yeah. And then are there any, you know, tunes or styles that you feel especially connected to when you're playing the fiddle or when you're singing?
Well, I really focused in on Northwest Donegal and Donegal in general. The songs are from all around this area, between Bidor, the Rosses and Clahinaile. All my songs are from that area. And I went to the archives and tried and, you know, collect stuff. And I had a lot of songs from my father, from my family, from neighbours. But I went and dug deeper into the archives in Dublin when it wasn't so easy to do. And also with the tunes, I decided that Donegal music hadn't been heard outside Donegal much. You know, the Highlands and the types of reels we play are so different to the rest of the country. So focusing in on that, it kind of, I think we were the first band, and I in particular was very fussy about that. I'm going to play local tunes. I'm not going to start playing tunes from County Kerry, which I love, like, but I'm not going to start playing tunes from other areas. I'm just going to focus my repertoire to be from a certain area. And that kind of gave a certain label to the type of music I play and the band now, because we focus so much on Donegal music and song.
100%. And then I suppose my last question would be, do you actually have a favourite tune, maybe one that you learned or one that you've written?
Well, my favourite tune, it changes every day, to be honest with you. You know, I love every tune, but I don't learn a tune that I don't like. You know, very often, like, people think, oh, you have to learn every tune you hear. No, you don't. You just play. Learn tunes that you like. And the one I always go back to is Bovina Tachan is very nice. It's a yes. March.
Yeah.
And it's very local, as you know.
Yeah.
It's just outside Dunlow. And I also love Gravel Walks, the Gravel Walks to Granny. And that's down in Ardara, that tune. And those two tunes, everybody seems to be attracted to them, you know. And a lot of other bands have actually subsequently, after we recorded Bovina Tachan, other bands like Lunasa have recorded it, and I've heard played at loads of sessions all over the world. So it's a very popular tune.
It is very popular. We actually play it in our trad group in the school as well. That was like one of the first tunes I think we learned.
There's something about it, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very complete tune, and it always kind of stands out, you know.
Yeah, it is.
I love it.
It is, yeah. It's lovely. So thank you so much, Mairead. It's been wonderful hearing about your journey and, of course, getting to listen to you talk. It's been a real privilege, and thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you. And thanks for your thoughtful questions. Very, very good. And enjoy your TY.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
Once again, a big thanks to Mairead for joining me here. And to conclude my segment, I decided to play you all a tune, one of my favourites. It's a reel that I played for my FLA competition, and it's called Over the Moor to Maggie.
That was such a great interview. I love hearing how artists come up with their own songs.
Same here. And speaking of creativity, I got to chat with Dr. Farah all about aesthetics and beauty. She had loads of great tips to share. So today I'm joined with Dr. Farah. Farah, can you tell me a little bit about your work as an aesthetics doctor and how you began your career in this field?
Yeah, I suppose I'm a trained GP. My primary, qualification would be general practice. I started doing aesthetics. I suppose I did it as a course initially when I was a GP trainee, not sure if I would be liking it at all or not. And that was maybe about 12 years ago. So I've been doing it ever since, but I always kind of did it on the side as when I was doing general practice, and I mainly did injectable treatments such as Botox, fillers, etc. Now, I think maybe about a year after COVID, I decided that I would need to leave general practice because I was getting too hard for me. I felt it was very tough and very stressful, and yes. I didn't have time for my kids or myself. Yes. And I decided to take a year out to try and decide what to do with myself. And then I decided in going to aesthetics because it'd be my own clinic. I can set my own work hours and I can do what I love. So it took the plunge about 3 years ago and opened the clinic. And it's not just aesthetics that we do. So we see a lot of inflammatory skin issues, like people with acne, people with rosacea, teenagers, you know, young adults. We do a lot of that as well. You know, we have a few different technologies in the clinic as well to help with other skin issues. So it's not mainly just aesthetics. It's about, you know, your skin health, restoring skin health, treating inflammatory skin issues. And then your more advanced treatments as well, like, you know, jawline lifting, facial sculpting, you know, skin tightening, resurfacing laser, all that kind of crack.
That's amazing. What or who inspired you to become a doctor?
My dad, I suppose that's the quickest answer. I come from Malaysia, and my dad is a GP, and I always grew up around doctors and clinics, and and I always admired his work ethic and how he kind of helped people along the way. And, you know, people used to call with emergencies and different things. So I was always very used to all that.
Yeah.
And to be fair, when I was your age, I didn't like to go to school. But anyway, it's all good. So I didn't know if I had what it took to become a doctor, you know, because I just didn't like, you know, all the work and all the studying, and I found my peace with it, though. I got to where I needed to be, but my dad primarily would be, I suppose, the main motivator for me getting into medicine.
That's lovely. What type of training is involved to get to your position?
A lot. I am now 44. When I was in medicine, it was a 6-year course because it came from a different country. So we had to do an extra year. So 6 years to get your title as a doctor, and then you still have to do your intern year, which is mandatory, and that is 1 year before you can even start contemplating what speciality you would go to. If you wanted to be a hospital doctor, then you have to decide what kind of doctoring it is that you want to do. Is it surgery? Is it dermatology? Is it, medicine for the elderly? Could be so many different specialities. So you have to, after your engineer, you still need to go for your basic training. And that can take about 4 years before you go into your specialist training, which can take up to 10 years for certain specialities. Wow. Like cardiothoracic surgeon, for example. My intern year, I did a year of medicine and I did a year of pediatrics, and then I did my GP training, which took 4 years. So quite a while.
Yeah, that's a very long time.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy most about your work?
Do you know what? I love the people. I was a GP in the town, so I know a lot of the people that come in here anyway with their families, or, I see kids, people that they were babies when I was seeing them, and they're now talking to me, they're full grown adults, and it's nice, we have the ability to help someone. I suppose we do treat a lot of acne here, and you can see the transformation in people. I had really bad acne when I was a child too, so I remember how it felt to have it, when I was a teenager, and just to help people feel better and get your skin in good shape. And I enjoy it, and I enjoy people I work with as well. So, I'm very lucky with who I have working with me, and I wouldn't be able to do it without them.
That's so lovely. What treatments and services do you provide at your clinic?
Oh, we do a lot. We do a lot of injectables. That is your cosmetic treatment. So your Botox, your fillers, your skin boosters. We also do laser treatments for acne, rosacea, birthmarks. We do that. And then we have another device that does skin tightening and skin resurfacing. And then we also have a sculpting device that gives you you don't have to worry about this, but for us older women, the jowls, so we can sculpt that area. So it's like you're a bridge between, it's a step that for people who don't want to get surgery, for example. So it's a big, it's a big enough procedure, but very effective and also permanent. Yeah, so there is a lot, Then we do our basic skin consults. So if you don't know what to use in your skin, or if you're not sure what's safe to use, we do that. We have a range of products in clinic as well. So, we do peels, we do facials, so there is quite a lot.
That's amazing.
but it took a while to kind of build on it,
to get everything there. What would be the most popular treatment among your clients?
My bread and butter would be Botox, I guess. It's very popular now. I suppose it's a lot of people getting it done. Again, it's a cosmetic treatment. I always tell people this. It's not an anti-aging treatment. It's a cosmetic treatment, you know. What we do a lot of fillers as well with regards to injectables, and this is what I get concerned about, is people getting influenced by social media and have a notion of what they should be looking like when, you know, really it's not their anatomy. So, you know, I think for that, like, people do need to be very careful about treating anyone who is asking for fillers, really, you know. And that's why I would urge you, younger generation, to go to a doctor so you don't get any treatments that's not suitable for you guys.
Do you think social media has influenced clients' expectations?
Oh, for sure. I mean, social media, filters, trends, you know, viral trends. There's people putting beef tallow on their faces and... Sycophant bombs, like just leaving it for glass skin. Like, it's just a lot of misinformation, and you just have to be careful of what you do, and, you know, but yeah, for sure, social media has a huge impact on, I suppose, an idea of what normal looks like.
Are there any procedures you'd advise people to avoid or be cautious about?
Yes. Lip fillers, nose fillers, these are treatments that can be potentially dangerous for people if done in the wrong hands. If you Google fillers, you can probably buy one on Amazon or Temu or whatever. And, you know, people are doing this. They're buying cheap products and getting somebody to inject them for them, or going to a cheaper person to get, say, their lip filler. Not all fillers are created equal. If fillers get blocked in the vessels that are in your lips, then you could cause tissue death, which means you're losing part of that skin that's affected. So it is something that should be considered, and you do need to see a medical doctor too before you'd consider getting anything like that done to your face.
Yeah. What are your top three skincare tips?
Use your SPF every day. Don't skip your SPF. So, you know, if you're cleansing your skin and you are making sure you take off your makeup, you are using your SPF, you are doing mighty.
It's amazing. Is it okay if we do some quick fire questions?
You can.
Botox or filler?
Botox.
The biggest myth in aesthetics?
The biggest myth in aesthetics? That you should stop retinoids before getting any sort of treatments.
The treatment you'd never skip?
Botox.
Celebrity who you think is aging gracefully?
What's that Jenner lady? Is it one of the Jenners? I think she's looking good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the last one, if you weren't an aesthetics doctor, what do you think you'd be doing?
I'd be a GP.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, that's all my questions. Thank you so much for coming on today. I've learned so much.
Good, no problem. And sorry to have to go, Bosch. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Wow, I didn't know there was so much to learn about aesthetics.
Yeah, it's really interesting, but it's time to learn more.
Next up, we have Kiva talking to Ellie Ward about tips and tricks for hair and beauty.
Okay, so we're here with our current Mary from Dunloe, Ellie. How are you, Ellie?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's a pleasure. Thanks so much. So you've recently been busy over the past few months with the festival itself as the Mary and attending various events. As the Mary from Dunloe, what are your top three beauty products that you rely on for all of these events?
So I definitely rely on anything Anna Olivia. I love all of her products.
Love Anna Olivia.
Yeah, she has very good makeup. And then another thing that I love is Be Perfect as well. So it is the bronze boost drops. So it's just like a little bit of fake tan, maybe. You just like put it in a little bit of moisturiser and put it on. So that's good as well. And then the Sculpted by Amy skin tint. I love that as well.
That is. It's fab, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very good. And
do you have a favourite go-to hairstyle that makes you feel confident and comfortable attending these events?
Ooh, I love a half up, half down slick back. I love that.
They're so handy as well.
If your hair is like in any way greasy or anything, just throw it up and then put a bit of curl in it. It just makes it look so elegant without even putting that much effort in.
Does, it looks fab. And how important do you feel a good skincare routine is? And has yours changed over the past year?
I think now, over the past year, I've definitely developed a better skincare routine. For a while, it was just like a little bit of cleanser and some moisturiser, but having so much makeup on every day and having to like attend all these events, I've definitely developed a more complex one. So I use two cleansers now instead of just one, and then a toner and a moisturiser. So I think a good skincare routine is very important.
That's great. Yeah, it's become such a big thing lately. What products would you use for your skincare?
So I use CeraVe cleanser. I use the turquoise kind of one for my first cleanse, and then I use a caudalie oil-based cleanser, and then I just use a CeraVe moisturiser and a caudalie toner, so I don't really switch up my brands at all.
That's nice. It's good to stay with the one. Do you have any secret style or beauty tips for us?
I think definitely having a good base for your makeup.
Yeah, it's so important.
Is very important. So having a good primer and a good foundation is definitely a great place to start. And then in terms of hair care, I definitely advise using a heat protectant, because I didn't for so many years and it ruined my hair. So if you're going to start straightening your hair or using heat on it, definitely use a heat protectant.
Definitely. Do you think standards in beauty are changing for the better or worse?
I think with the like everyday makeup coming in and things like that, for younger girls it is a little bit more of a stressor, if you get me. So like going to school every day and having to like straighten your hair and put makeup on isn't the best way to go about like going to school and things like that. You should really just be in school and be these places to learn and to better yourself. But it is something that has come in recent years, and I even know myself that I was like that whenever I was in school. So I think it's kind of changed for the worse for younger years. So like you can even notice with younger girls getting into like skincare routines that really shouldn't be used at their age. I just think like it's not really appropriate, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, and makeup's, I suppose, became like a security blanket for a lot of girls now.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like if you have to come to terms, or you have to love yourself as you are before you can start covering up definitely. Things. Yeah.
How do you think social media influences how we see beauty?
I think in terms of social media, people always put their best foot forward. So you wouldn't post something that you don't look your best in, or that isn't gonna like get a lot of likes. So I think in terms of social media and beauty standards, people should take it as they're only posting their best images or their best content and where they look the best. And there's a lot of like comparison with people on social media and like you every day. Like if you can be scrolling through Instagram and see a picture of somebody and be like, oh my God, I wish that was me. When in reality, like in everyday life, that person doesn't look like that at all. And you just need to take that into consideration as well before you start like having these little fights with yourself, like why do I not look like that and things like that. I think that's very important for young girls to know and to realise like that's not that person every day, and you need to be more kind to yourself.
Definitely is. It's kind of raising the standards on younger girls.
It definitely is, yeah.
And filters have also become a big thing over the last number of years. How do you think that's impacting us also?
Yeah, so I think in the same sense of people put their best foot forward, these filters are not these people's faces, and it creates this kind of a comfort blanket for these people to hide their insecurities and to kind of like love themselves a little bit more.
Yeah.
And to like see, oh, this is how I look, but it's not actually how I look. And when people see that, they're like, oh my God, her skin's perfect, or like her hair is perfect, or like her body's perfect. Like that's just not, it's not right. And I think that people need to take that into consideration, that like people are comparing themselves to these filtered or AI'd images of you. And yeah, I just think that it shouldn't really be used, to be honest.
Definitely, it's kind of setting a standard that this is what they should look like, or
yeah, exactly.
Definitely. And on the bright side of social media and the better side, do you have any certain influencer that you would follow that inspires you for different hair and beauty tips maybe?
Yeah, so as I said before, I love Anna Olivia Hines. She's amazing. She's really, really good. So I follow her for like beauty tips and things like that. And I love Danielle Collins as well. She's very good.
She's very good.
She brings out the funny side. And Billy McCormick as well. She's very good too. So they're probably my top three influencers.
Yeah, they make it a bit more lighthearted.
Exactly.
And for my last question, do you have any beauty trends that you maybe don't like or that you really do like lately?
I don't love fluffy brows. That is the one thing that I stay away from. That's something that I can't get behind. And then I love the new, like, really bronzy look.
That's the glowy look it is. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so that's my do's and don'ts.
Well, thanks so much, Ellie, for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We're so glad
you could join us. See you later.
That was brilliant. I'm officially educated in beauty care now.
See, every day is a school day, Joey.
All right, now it's time for Jack's segment. He's been looking into media and TikTok and how social media is shaping trends, entertainment and even news.
Hi, I'm Jack Devenny and I'm here with
Kiva Ward, and today we're here with all things TikTok.
From the track of the week to classic oldies making a return and everything in between, we have it all.
So make sure to keep listening and stop scrolling and enjoy our segment.
So first of all, I caught up with Micheál Brennan, aka Donegal Daddy, to tell us about his social media journey.
So, Micheál, how did you start creating content and what inspired the Donegal Daddy persona?
Yes, Jack. Well, it was the pandemic. I think a lot of people got stuck with it and I ended up at home. My wife was working all through it, so I was at home with she was 9 months old that time. So I just started making silly videos to pass the day, and it just kind of gathered momentum after about 7 or 8 weeks, and I changed it into the Donegal Daddy. I just made it that for the crack, and yeah, I suppose the rest is history, as they say. I've been doing it since.
Well, that's really cool. Was there a particular post or video that made you famous and changed everything for you?
Famous? I wouldn't say famous now, but I say, well, the start, you see, I'd done videos or remake kind of lip syncs to movie scenes, and that kind of got me doing it every day. And then I suppose the first one that really caught on was the one with Sam Smith going to the Brits, where they had on like a big inflatable suit. Inflatable black suit, and I just, that night we were watching it, and I just said to Aoife, my wife, before you go to bed here, I need to put on these black bags, and I put on the black bags, and she put the hairdryer down, and we inflated the black bags, and just done a quick, it took me about 5 minutes, and that just went crazy then overnight, and then it ended up like Lorraine show on ITV showed it and things like that, and that one really caught on. And then suppose the next one then really was Daniel O'Donnell, when I cornered him for a video. That was the two that really kind of built the biggest, I suppose, bit of publicity.
Yeah, well, that sounds like great crack. What's your creative process? Like, do you plan your sketches or do they just happen in the moment?
90% of them are just if it comes to me and I'll get it done quickly. I do think different wee scenarios happen in day-to-day life and I'll go, God, that would make a funny skit maybe. But like at the minute, 90% of my stuff is like whatever's happening on a given day or a reaction to something that's in the news, or if somebody asks me a question about something that's going on in the news, I might do something about that. But yeah, a lot of it's just in the moment, what's going on. I do love making the skit videos, but I need to get back and get time. But at the minute, the two youngest girls are just at a bad age for trying to do anything while they're awake. It's like they're kind of 3 and 2 and it's just full on. So, but yeah, hopefully I do want to get more into making the skits and thinking them up and doing them, making that whole process maybe of storyboarding them, which is probably the right way to doing it. But at the minute, it's just off the cuff and quick.
Yeah, well, it's good that you have some like reality in your sketches and it's not all just planned. So we know you have 3 beautiful little girls. You play music in a wedding band alongside your work as a content creator. Do you find it difficult to balance all of these in your life?
Yes, very, very difficult. It's definitely better than it was. I was working full time before as well. So it's just, at least now I know during the day, the girls, that's the priority. Well, that's the priority all the time. But like content, if it fits in, it fits in. And if it doesn't, that's grand. I don't worry about it. I used to worry about it. I used to think, oh, I have to get a post done or I have to get something done. But now I'm kind of, it doesn't matter. Get the girls are number one, obviously. And then as long as they're looked after, and if they're having a bad day, you just go, right, I'm not going to be doing anything today, only making sure they're okay. Whereas hopefully I will. That's where I need to get back into planning the content more, so that when it gets to the evening time or when they're in bed, that I can just go, right, I have a plan. I'll go make that skit or that idea.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Can you give us an insight into how your platform and large following have helped you to raise awareness for issues or personal struggles that you feel passionately about?
Yeah, I suppose, well, one of my first posts, before I was ever posting like about Donegal Daddy, I posted about my own mental health struggles back in 2017, 2018. And I just posted about it because it was on mental health, World Mental Health Day, might have been 2018 maybe, so. And I just posted my wee story, like, and didn't think anything of it. And then that, for the like a week following it, I was getting messages from all different walks of life, like parents saying, I showed this to my son and he didn't, and I didn't realise what he was going through. And I had young fellas that were 16, 17 saying, thanks a million, this has helped me. And you don't realise, lads in the class, we were talking about it, and it, like, we didn't even realise who else was having difficulties, like. And so then when I did start getting a following, I kind of kept trying to keep that in it as well, like, and doing things like Movember and trying to just help young lads and lads in general to talk and watch their mental health. And then when I found out there 2 years ago, I have ADHD, and I started talking about it, not thinking anything about it. And people started, like, I still, like, get stopped in shops, asked about it, like, about the ADHD thing as well. So I try and kind of talk about it as well to try and help other parents, as more so than adults with ADHD. So the parents realize that their child might have it, and it's not all bad, like, it's once they get the help. But yeah, the mental health thing, I think, especially for lads and younger guys, to try and keep talking and minding it, because it's such a, Jesus, it's a horrible place when it gets on top of you. So yeah, I'm going to actually do a bit more about that next month now for November. I'll probably do Movember again and try and do something to help some way. That's kind of what I was, the main two things anyway, I'm kind of trying to, I would try and help with.
It's good that you can help so many people without even realising you do. So, which platform do you enjoy using most? TikTok, Instagram, or another one?
I love Instagram. Yeah, I just find it's a nice platform. I find the following I have built up on there is like a wee community of people like it that they'll message me and you message them back. You meet them when you're on your day to day. You might meet somebody away somewhere, and you know you can just stop and talk with them, and it's nice. I always find Instagram a nice place to be. TikTok, it's just so hit and miss. You just don't know what's going on. It changes, and it you don't know like. And I suppose part of my thing too is I don't push the TikTok one as much, or I don't try to go with the trends or anything. I just keep doing my own bits. I don't try and just be jumping on every single trend. I try and do whatever content I feel myself is right for me. And then that doesn't work for TikTok, really. You have to kind of be very much doing what they want you to do for it to be seen. But they both have, I suppose, positives and negatives. But I do like Instagram best for chatting to people and having that interaction, whereas TikTok is a bit different. I like scrolling in it on TikTok, I suppose, because it throws you up different things that you don't realise you're interested in. So it's good that way. But that's the two, yeah, probably the main ones I would say I enjoy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks so much, Jack.
Hi, Kiva.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Good.
So we're going to be talking about this week's Track of the Week, Back to Being Friends by Somber. Now, this song was released in 2024 and it's kind of only getting recognised now. What are your personal thoughts on this song?
So personally, when it came out in 2024, I really didn't like it. I thought it was a really boring song and there was no good choruses. But then it became popular in 2025 and I listened to it again. I listened thoroughly and I read the lyrics and it's really well written. It's definitely personal to him and I like it now a lot more.
Yeah, I'd say there's a deeper meaning behind the song and I suppose everyone's probably starting to relate to it a bit more and are finding comfort maybe in the song itself.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. So in 2024, Alex Warren released his song Ordinary. What is your opinion on it?
I honestly love this song and I've loved it since it's been released. I think that the meaning behind it, and obviously he wrote it for his wife, is really nice. It was a wedding song and I think it is becoming really popular and is being used in weddings and that's really nice. And I also kind of think the song kind of made Alex Warren and became, you know, it, as him as an artist, it really pushed him out there for everyone to start hearing him more and his music. And obviously now he's so popular and is getting so many concerts. And I honestly do think it's because of this song.
Yeah, that song definitely put him out there and made him more famous than ever. Now let's have just a little talk about why they became popular again. So Fleetwood Mac's song Dreams became popular due to a trend with Nathan Apocada skateboarding and drinking cranberry juice. Now, if you saw this was a really interesting trend and I think personally I really liked it. But what did you think about it?
I did think it. I thought it was an interesting trend and it was obviously very popular. So many people were doing it and I thought it was really nice that the song was being revived. I loved seeing old songs being revived. I think it's really interesting to see how after such a long time, like even some songs that were written 20 years ago are becoming popular again from TikTok. I think that's really amazing to see. And obviously that was one of them songs as well.
Yeah, it's good to see old artists getting more recognition now and that young people are appreciating them better. Next, I'm honoured to be joined by TikTok sensation Eric Roberts, who's kindly taken the time to do an interview with me.
Well, listen, this is going to be the best one you've ever done in your life. Let's have some fun. What's the story? What are we talking about?
So it's all about social media and how you kind of started to become a content creator.
Okay, brilliant. Sure, we'll have to take it back a few years then. It was around lockdown. I downloaded TikTok like most of the country, just trying to, I suppose, do something different other than the 2K walks that we were only allowed to do at the time. And I very quickly fell in love with the app. And after about 2 or 3 weeks of scrolling endlessly, I decided, you know what, I might put up a video myself. And I think it was because we were all locked away in our houses and I wasn't really scared what my friends were going to say at the time. I said, right, I'm going to post a few videos. And I did. And I suppose I didn't go viral straight away. It was a few weeks of trying a few different things. And eventually then I had a few videos sort of take off. And I suppose the rest is history. I just fell in love with posting content and I almost became addicted to it. And I was just very, very consistent. I posted every day for 2 or 3 years and I built up a big following. And it got so big that I was able to actually leave my job as a special needs assistant and start doing it full time.
That's really cool.
It was, yes. I'm still doing it now to this day. So I hopefully people still find me entertaining and I'll be able to do it for a very long time.
I hope so too. So can you tell me a little bit about, like, did you ever regret starting social media?
I wouldn't say I would ever regret it now. It's allowed me to do some really, really amazing things and I've had some incredible opportunities and I suppose I have a new career now on television as well, and without social media I wouldn't have any of that. So I definitely don't have any regrets. My biggest regret is probably not starting sooner. I think everyone has this, I suppose, barrier or ceiling that they're scared what people might think if they put themselves out there a bit. But I quickly realised that the more I put myself out there, the more rewards I got. So my only regret is maybe not starting a bit sooner.
Yeah, I get you. Have you made many friends from being a creator and going to events?
Have I made many friends? Showbiz is a funny industry. It's a funny industry. You don't know who your friends are and who your enemies are. But I suppose one thing I pride myself on is I'm nice to everybody. And I try and give everyone the same kindness, I suppose, whether it's in the industry or not. So I've met some incredible people. I've met some really, really famous people. But I've also just met some really cool people that work behind the scenes, whether it be cameramen or floor producers or PR agents. So Ireland's a really, really small place. So I'm lucky enough to have met most of the content creators and I've made some great friends along the way.
Yeah, I get you. Do you feel that there are many negatives involved in the career of a content creator?
That's a great question. I think there's definitely pros and cons like any job. I suppose the pros are I get so much free time and sort of can pick and choose my own hours and I get to go to really cool events and meet cool people and travel a lot and do really exciting things. The cons are, I suppose, you're in the public eye and there can be some negativity online. Definitely you get the odd troll and stuff, but I think it's just part and parcel of it. There's going to be people that enjoy it and there's people that don't enjoy it. So I think you just have to focus on the positives.
Yeah. Picking your own work hours sounds great, to be honest.
Nah, sure. They're not working you too hard there in Highland Radio, I hope.
No, don't worry, they're not. So has Donegal itself become a kind of character in your content?
It definitely has. I suppose I'm a real big advocate for Donegal. I've done some of the biggest campaigns I've done have been Donegal campaigns, and I've been lucky enough to showcase how incredible the county is, and I've always been very passionate about that. And I suppose it set me apart as well in terms of working with different brands. A lot of the creators and stuff would be from the city and from Dublin, so the fact that I was in Donegal, I suppose it made me stand out a little bit. I'm proud of the fact that I was from Donegal and I love showcasing it, and it's gorgeous as well, so people enjoy seeing Donegal content.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that there's some big influencers that are actually from Donegal.
Absolutely, yes. And hopefully in the coming years, we'll see more and more popping up.
I hope so too. So if you ever get hate comments on your videos, do they affect you and how do you deal with them?
They can, absolutely. I've had them in the past. I think they're unavoidable. Just the online world can be a scary place. So there's always going to be a few negative comments that slip through. I think the best thing you can do is just, as I said, focus on the positive ones. You might get 100 nice comments and one bad one. So it's just about not letting that bad one affect you.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. So do you ever struggle getting inspiration for what to post?
Definitely, absolutely. I think it's very early on, I put myself under a lot of pressure to try and post every single day. And when that happens, you can kind of run out of ideas very, very quickly. So I put less pressure on myself now. If I only post once or twice a week, that's okay. If I post 10 times a week, that's also okay. So it just depends what I'm doing. I suppose it used to affect me if I wasn't post, whereas now I think it's quality over quantity, so it's a lot more relaxed.
Yeah. And do you have any advice for people who want to become content creators but are too afraid to put themselves out there?
Yeah, I would say the hardest thing to do is start. But once you do, I think you realise quickly that no one really is bothered about what you're doing. They're all very busy focusing on their own lives and their own problems. So, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? It just depends what you want to post, really. If you have something to say or if you're interested in something, whether it be makeup or ventriloquism or just content creation as a whole, it's just if people see you're passionate about it, then it might resonate with them. So it's just about starting one day or day one. That's the way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. It's been great talking to you.
That's been great talking to you. This is one of my favourite interviews I've ever done. So well done. You did a great job.
Thank you.
That was fascinating. TikTok really is changing how people see the world.
Yeah, it's mad how something can go viral overnight. One video and boom, millions of views.
All right, let's get back to the music with this one from Kendrick Lamar. It's Not Like Us.
I see dead people. Mustard on the beat, ho, he boat, he rap. He a freak, though, man, damn, call a amber lambs. Tell him, please, bro, Nella, to the cross, he walk around like Tizo. What's up with these people? Trying to see Compton, the industry can hit me. Go Marlon, the mama, how many ops you really got? I mean, it's too many options. I'm finna pass on this body, I'm John Stockton. Beat your ass and hide the Bible with God watching. Sometimes you gotta pop out and show. Certified boogie man, I'm the one that up to score with him. Walking down whole time, I know he got some hoe in him. Pull on him, extort, bully the flow on him. Say Drake, I hear you like I'm young. You better not ever go to cell block one. To any that talk to him and they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. They tell me Chubb's the only one that get your hand-me-downs. And party at the party playing with his nose now. And Baka got a weird case, why is he around? Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. Wop, 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 that boom up. Wop, wop, wop. I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a b***h? Ain't you tired? Trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor. They not like us. 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 You think the bay gon' let you disrespect pop? I think that open show will be your last stop. They cold foul. I don't know why you still pretending. What is the hour? Then bird. The audience not dumb. Shape the stories how you want. Hate trait, they're not slow. Rabbit hole is still deep. I can go further, I promise. Ain't there some P-Rex that's for bitching? You Malibu most wanted. Ain't no love boy, you ball boy. Fetch Gatorade or something. Since 2009, I had this jumping. Cause I get a wedgie, be flipped over your boxes. Or over your foe. The other straighten they posture. Got famous all up in content. Might write this with a doctor. Tell a pop star, quit hiding. Fuck a caption, won't action. No accident, I'm hands on. He fuck around, get polished. On Wayne girl like he was in jail, that's conniving. Then get his face tatted like a apologizing. I'm glad D-Rose came home, y'all didn't deserve him either. From Alondra down to Central, better not speak on Serena. And your homeboy needs subpoena. That predator moving flocks, that name gotta be registered and placed on neighborhood watch. I lean on you just like another line of walk. Yeah, it's all eyes on me and I'ma send it up the pot. Ay, put the roll label on me, I'ma get them dropped. Ay, sweet chin music and I won't pass the ox. Ay, how many stocks do I really have in stock? Ay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus 5. Ay, devil is a lie, here 69 God. Ay, need to stay there inside. Ay, like a fresh pack of Zion. Ay, city is back up, it's a must, we outside. Ay. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. Once upon a time, all of us was in chains. Homies still double down, calling us some slaves. Atlanta was the mecca, building railroads and trains. Bear with me for a second, let me put y'all on game. The settlers was using town folk to make them richer. Fast forward 2024, you got the same agenda. You run to Atlanta when you need a check balance. Let me break it down for you, this the real challenge. You caught future when you didn't see the club. Hey, what, little baby help you get your lingo up? What, 21, get your first street cred? Thug make you feel like you a slime in your head. Hey, what, Quavo said you can be from Northside. But 2 Chainz say you good, but he lied. You run to Atlanta when you need a few dollars. No, you're not a colleague, you a colonizer. The family matter and the truth of the matter. It was God's plan to show y'all the liar. He a fan, he a fan, he a fan. He a fan, he a fan, he a 69 God. He a 69 God. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for your life. He a 69 God.
I hit a 69 God. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for
Let
your life.
Let me say O-V-Ho.
O-V-Ho.
Say O-V-Ho.
O-V-Ho.
Then step this way. Step that way. Then step this way. Step that way. Are you my friend? Are we locked in? Then step this way, step that way, then step this way, step that way.
You're listening to Highland Radio, the TY program with Joey and Evie. We're nearly out of time, but before we wrap up, we've got one last song to finish off the night in style.
Here's the amazing Olivia Dean with Man I Need.
Talk to me, talk to me.
That's all from us tonight here in Highland Radio. Huge thanks to everyone who took part. Connor, Aaron, Leila, Kiva, Jack and all of our special guests.
And of course, thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the TY programme. It's been great having your company on the show. Have a brilliant evening, everyone. This is Joey and Evie signing off from the Highland Radio. This TY Media Week programme is funded by Commission the Man.
With the television's licence fee, it has been devised by Learning Waves in association with...